Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Ah, hello. Good morning. Yes, it's Tuesday. Whew. Hope you're right. Thank you very much, Dev. Morning, Tulip.
Morning.
Hello, Simon.
Morning.
How are you?
Very well, you?
Are you a bit annoyed that Dev forgot your name just before half past six?
I'm miffed.
It's all right. He'll get used to it. Hope you're all right today. A lot of people were concerned about my mum and if she's still in my flat. I did tell you yesterday that I managed to get her out, and I am planning to treat her something real nice for Mother's Day to make up for it. I promise. Chris and Comedy Dave are still asleep. Who'd have thought it? So it's me for this week and next week. Morning, Becky.
Hello.
You all right?
Yes, how are you?
Well, you sound good.
What do you mean?
I'm just trying to make you paranoid. You sound fine.
Oh, right. Not like that time when I really did sound bad.
Yeah, there was one time when we were doing this show.
I hadn't spoken until I spoke on the radio and then...
What do you think, Becky?
Shocked me so much.
I'm a little concerned about the PR4L talking about sounding good, because yesterday it sounded like she was coming down with a cold. Is she all right?
I think she's okay, yeah.
I bought, in case she needs it, one of these things that I got off of America, which is 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C in one handy little sachet, in case she needs it.
And you don't have to go to America to get vitamin C.
What, can you get 1,000 milligrams of it in one go, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I've been robbed then, haven't I? I went up to America to get that. Now, tell us what happened to you yesterday, please.
I assume you mean my accidental stumbling into a Levi Roots book signing.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about this. How did that happen, please?
Well, the Smiths in Reading has two entrances, and I was bored of walking up and down the road, so I used it as a cut-through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'm not the only one. Anyway...
Everyone does that when they're in Reading.
As I was cutting through, there he was, signing his books.
Oh, God, so you weren't... Did you queue up?
No, I do you know what? I think he was probably at the end of the signing.
Right, because there wasn't anyone there?
A couple.
Oh, no, how embarrassing. See, that's my worst nightmare. If I was a celebrity, we've talked about this before, and you're sat there just with your pen and a pile of books ready, but no one shows up. Is that what happened to Levi Roots yesterday?
Oh, no, it wasn't that. It wasn't like that. I think it had just been...
Just the remnants at the end, was it?
Yeah, they'd cut the queue. You know,
right.
They do, yeah.
Okay. And did you get the book? Is it any good?
I didn't get it, no, but I had a quick glance through.
What does Levi talk about in his book, do you think?
It's business, I think.
All right. How I invented reggae reggae sauce.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you want me to bring one in for you?
Yeah, if you can. This kind of reminds me, you know my flatmate? He's got this thing where he always goes to the wrong thing by mistake, and it kind of runs in his family because my flatmate's sister went to the wrong wedding once. Have I told you about this?
How do you do that?
Well, because she didn't know the groom. She hadn't met the groom before, so she didn't realise. She only realised that she was at the wrong wedding when the bride walked down the aisle and she was like, no, don't recognise her.
Did she stay?
Or him. No, well, she got to the vows bit and then had to kind of sneak out when they were saying I do and try and find the right church. It was nearby. But it just what she wasn't in the right one. It's easy to do though, because some places there's loads of weddings going on. It obviously runs in the family because my flatmate flew out to France once for his sister's wedding, his other sister, and got there and found out that he'd got the wrong week. That's bad planning.
Ooh.
And his mum was supposed to pick him up from the airport, so he called her to ask her where she was when he got there. He's like, hello, I'm here, I'm at the airport, come to pick me up. She's like, it's in 2 weeks' time. So he had to fly back and ask work if he could move his holiday to 2 weeks. Rubbish. Hi, Helen.
Hello.
Are you right?
Yeah.
Have you just woken up?
Yes.
Rubbish. And there's me ringing you, eh?
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm not awake either. So tell me what happened yesterday. I did my story about locking my mum in my flat.
Yes, and I laughed.
Did you laugh a lot?
Quite a bit.
And then what happened?
I locked myself in my flat.
What occurred?
I've got a deadlock on my door and it got stuck. And right at the last minute, I've gone to go to work and I've locked myself in. I couldn't twist the door key for anything. So I've had to climb out of my bedroom window to get to work.
Uh-huh. Did you have to shin up any, like, drain pipes and stuff?
No, luckily I live on ground floor, so I had to go throw all my bags out before me.
Did you have to go through any bushes?
The thorns and the bushes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Overgrown bushes. So, my leg hurt when I got to work.
Did the police spot you?
No. I did feel like I was burgling my own flat.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? You do feel like that.
The amount of bags I had to take to work with me, so, yeah.
Well, at least you weren't accused of being a burglar like my mum.
Well, I promise never to laugh at your mum again.
That's okay. It's fine. Now you put yourself in that situation, you know, you won't laugh as much, will you?
No.
At least you didn't have to talk to a policeman through a letterbox, though.
No. I wouldn't have minded that bit.
Okay, good. All right, love you, bye.
Love you,
it's too
bye.
Early for a high five, frankly. Just finding a keypad at that time, really not. Also, obviously, mum can also be nun on predictive text. So I'm getting quite a few texts through on 81199 going, why did you lock your nun in your flat? And I've never locked a nun in my flat, I'd like to say.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
Right, has anyone seen this advert, which is on quite a lot at the moment? Normally on ITV2 or Sky 1. It's where I saw it last night. That advert for the uniform dating website. Has anyone seen this? Tulip, have you seen it?
No.
Simon?
No.
No? You will at some point, because it's on a lot at the moment. Where, if you work in a uniform, let's say like you're a fireman or a nurse, you can find love with people who also work in a uniform.
Mm. I bet that's popular.
Well, yes.
Do you get lots of non-uniform wearing people going, well, yeah,
here's the thing, Tulip. It then says on the advert, you don't have to work in a uniform. You can join if you just like people who wear uniforms.
So nobody on the site wears uniforms.
I'm doubting that there's that many people on there that actually go to work in a uniform at all. It's just people that like other people in uniforms. So you can choose from, like, nurse, I'm guessing, fireman, policeman, and they're all on there, and they're ready to date right now.
When you go on the date, do you have to wear a uniform then?
No, you don't have to. Oh, yeah, but wonder if they have to.
You both have to come in a uniform.
I don't know.
Uniform to a pub.
Because it's like, well, hello, I'm a nurse, but like, surely when you turn up for a date, like if you're going to the pub or a restaurant or whatever, you wouldn't wear your uniform necessarily. But you can count on the fact that at some point she will wear her uniform because she's a nurse.
Yeah, if you've gone on the site and said, I want someone in a uniform, you don't want them just turning up in jeans and a T-shirt, do you?
But then that's
Because then
weird.
You get your money back. Do you get your money back if
I
that
don't
happens?
Know. And also, how does it work for people? Like, is there a special section for people who wear the, let's say, the orange B&Q uniform? Or the attractive green Homebase uniform? Are they on there as well? They must be.
There's holes in this.
You should sign up and see.
Well, I did actually think about it last night. But then what have I got to offer? Well, no, I don't have to wear a uniform, do I?
I can get you whatever uniform you want. I mean, you've surely got some at your flats, haven't you? Your flats. You haven't got a
my
load
flats.
Of flats. You've just got one flat.
One of your various flats must have some uniforms in. Well, I've got some... what have I got? I've got a caveman outfit. That's not really uniform.
You've got the old lady outfit.
I've got the old lady outfit, and I've got the big bad wolf outfit. But none of those would really count as uniform, I don't think. I've lost the head to that, by the way, if anyone knows where it is. Now, we're just thinking, like, are fancy dress shops doing a roaring trade out of this at the moment? Hello, I'm a naughty nurse. I'd like to sign up. That looks a very, like, a cheap uniform to me. No, it is. This is what I work in, honest. Anyone seen this advert? Emma's been on saying, I work at B&Q in one of the orange outfits that you just talked about. That's a uniform. Maybe I should get myself affiliated to that site and make myself a little extra. No, Emma, I think you've got this all wrong. It's not an escort site. This is a site for people that want to date people in uniform. You've got that wrong. Dave from Peterborough says, I work for Royal Mail and wear a uniform. Any chance, Tulip?
You wear shorts in summer, don't you, as Royal Mail?
Yes, they do. Good knowledge.
Well, that's lovely.
No, okay, good. That's a no, Dave, but put a really polite way. Also, I want to know, does wearing a uniform generally make you attractive to other people, do you think? Like, do you get more offers if you wear a uniform?
Defo.
But yeah, but I'm not talking about the obvious ones, like fireman or Top Gun pilot. I mean, let's say that you are, I don't know, a lollipop man. That's a uniform. Or a lollipop lady. Does that get you more offers with the opposite sex? I'd like to know, please. Alex, who's delivering milk in Portsmouth, who says, I just wear, like, a polo top, but it is my uniform, because all the other people wear them as well on the milk shift. It's a polo shirt and hoodie, but they both got the company logo on. Could I join that website? I think you probably can, actually. Claire in Rushton's been on, works on checkout at Waitrose, gets loads more attention when in her uniform. See? No lollipop men or ladies on as yet. Hi, Buffy.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
What are you saying?
I wear a brown uniform. I deliver for a parcel service. The big brown one.
The one beginning with you?
That's the one.
Yeah.
I basically wear brown trousers, brown shirt, brown, like, jacket. Doesn't work for me.
Don't get any dates because of that.
No, people are more interested in the fact that I'm a female driving a big brown van.
That outfit is cool, though. I'd love to wear that outfit.
Really? You can have it if you like.
You've got a spare one. I'd love that.
I'll
also,
take one to you.
That's a pretty damn cool company car. Do you get to take that home at weekends?
No. It does look pretty mean, though, when you're sort of going up the motorway and everybody looks and sees the van and then they see that there's a woman behind it.
Yeah.
The wheel of it and, yeah.
But it's not got you any extra attention?
No, not really.
Ah. Well, you could join that site. You could join the site for people that like people in brown uniforms.
Do you know what? I might do, because I'm a bit partial to policemen.
Are you? Good. Well, it works for everyone then, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Love you too. High five.
Oh. He's on it.
High five.
No, oh, that's it. Okay, yeah. I'm not ready. Hang on, I'm going to... Okay, love you. Bye.
Love you, bye. Radio
1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Becky's here.
Hello.
And my friend Chris is here.
Hello.
Hello. Let's hear what you've been saying today from the PR4L, Posh Radio 4 Lady. If you want to email me, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Get yourself read out on Dear Scott.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris, TOTDS, PR4L and the PR4M.
Hi.
Heard your chat about overhearing other people's chats. I myself overheard two women discussing how one went to bed with a chap and didn't realise he had a false leg until she heard a farting noise in the dark, which was him removing said leg. I struggled not to lol. Love you all. Sarah, off of Salisbury. High five. XX.
That's a good one.
That's the best excuse for trumping in bed I've ever heard, I think.
What, sorry it's my false leg?
Yeah. Because it blatantly wasn't, was it? He'd had a curry and then it was like...
Yep, sorry, that's my false leg. Every time. You do hear some really good things, though, don't you, sometimes? Just overhear them.
Mm.
I heard, on the way back from Spain, when I was doing this gig on the weekend, I heard these group of lads and they were going, and that is why Facebook should be banned from stag parties. And I wanted to know more of what they were saying, what happened.
That would have been brilliant.
Next.
Hi Scott, Becky and all the team. Me and my friend Michelle flew to Lima in Peru for a travelling holiday and we were mobbed at the airport.
Oh, we were talking about this. We had a Peruvian listener on who emailed me and said that this show is really, really big in Peru. It's weird. You do get all sorts of bands and artists that kind of gave up here years ago. You find that they're still really famous in the odd country.
Like
Shane Ward off of X Factor. That's my goal. Still massive in parts of Africa.
It was the busiest airport I've ever been to, and I've been to lots of places around the world. We were taken aback when we came out of arrivals. There were so many people. Stopped us dead in our tracks. We're not famous, although it felt like it. Janine, still at work in Weston-super-Mare, teacher at Wyvern School.
Oh, I thought we were special, but it appears that most people get mobbed when they go to that airport.
I think it's hard not to feel famous when you go through an airport arrivals. I think if you've got your sunglasses on and that, and you see it... Is it just me? Is this just me then?
Carry on.
So when you walk through arrivals, I think they do it really well on Gavin and Stacey. It's there as well. But you go in and for some reason you just feel a little bit special.
A bit famous.
A little bit, yeah. And you sort of walk through pretending like to ignore the press.
Head down.
Yeah, exactly.
Hood up.
Yeah. Sunglasses on.
Sunglasses on.
I've always wanted my name on one of those boards, though. I've never had that. never had someone waiting for me.
You never ordered never a taxi? Had...
It's a taxi board.
They're is not that all fans, you need to do Becky? Is book a cab?
Yeah.
Is that all you need to do?
Pretty much. You book a cab, they turn up with your name on the board. You'd have to be famous, you'd have to have booked a taxi.
So you're not even bothered about the taxi, Wayne. I could, in theory, set up a business called, like, Rent a Fan. And they stand there with a board with your name on. And that would have done for you.
Would you like that?
I really would. And because I did... Remember when Wing came over and we did a board for her? Mm. Saying, you are such a big potato.
Mm.
I can't remember now why we wrote, you are such a big potato, on
no
a
idea.
Board. But she loved it.
I did love it.
Me and you thought it was amazing.
We
expected her to be a lot more excited to see us than she actually was.
Well, she'd had a long flight. I had to book an indirect one. It was cheaper.
She turned up and she could hardly keep her eyes open. I'm stood there with this, you are such a big potato sign.
This is Wing, our favourite Chinese singer. Well, I flew her all the way from New Zealand for the big weekend a few years ago.
But because you paid for it with your own money, she got a really long-winded flight because you went for the best deal.
I think she had to stop
at... Which went like...
It's Taiwan
where.
And Singapore, I think.
Poor
so
Wing.
She changed planes a couple of times.
But at least she got a board and someone waiting for her.
Yeah, we got her a limo, which was nearly sick in. Well, she had been travelling a lot. Don't feel so good now. But it is fun. I see what you're saying, pretending to be famous when you arrive at arrivals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm well aware it's really sad, but it is quite... You can't help but do it, really. Mm.
Do you pretend to be famous anywhere else?
Well, just in Luton.
There's only one other place where I really feel like that, and that's when you know when you got your MP3 player on, and a certain type of song comes on, and then I sort of envisage me being in the band... The one for me is Snow Patrol chasing cars.
What happens?
Well, then I start walking slowly and try and time it that I walk through the doors of the train just as the music kicks in.
Okay.
You know, the end bit of the song.
Let me try and find this. Hang on.
So how do you know, like, when the doors are going to open? Have you now got it down to an art where you know exactly which bit on the train you're going past when you press play on the track? So that you back time it from the doors.
I know this makes me sound like a right weirdo, right? But I'm not that bad, but I will sort of skip it forward slightly too.
Or if the train pulls up, are you like, and you're waiting outside the station for a bit, do you just pause?
No, it tends to be when I'm on the train and about to get off, so the doors open, music starts. If I lay that one, and then I walk down the platform with some attitude.
Okay, right, I've got it. So here's Chasing Cars. Towards the end.
Right, okay.
So what happens now?
Right, so... Yeah, this is the bit, yeah.
So where are you now?
Sort of standing up, getting ready to get off the train. But then what I do is I sort of hold back a second so you can get the impact.
Okay, so you're getting off the train.
Doors open now and off.
Boom. Wow. And you're on the platform.
Try it, it's good fun.
Got your swagger on. I'm going to try that later.
It's just a bit more emotional, you know, to what is quite a mundane sort of activity.
As you get off at Watford.
Yeah.
Oh, good, I'm in Tring.
Just give it a go. I'm well aware it sounds awful, but I'm sure someone else must do it.
Do you never listen to something, like, on your MP3 player and think, all right, this is the opening credits to the film?
No, I've never done that.
Just me then.
My boyfriend used to pretend he was in Spooks.
How?
And what? Still quite often does. You know, just like walk around, just like he's on a mission.
Oh, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Like avoiding snipers.
Yeah, just like really careful, like when he goes around corners and kind of a bit sort of checking things out
before
he goes around.
Yeah, I've done that also.
He must look ridiculous.
Talking on his phone, just like, It's always like really, like, eyes looking around.
People reporting him for looking suspicious.
Did you just say he must look ridiculous? The man who jumps off the train to chasing cars. Ta-da! If I lay here, I've arrived.
Does he, like, do the whole thing of listening to the theme tune from Spooks as well?
Probably. I've never actually checked to see what's in his... If he does, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
So much more respect for him.
Because that theme tune does actually... It makes you just look like
a spy. A little bit jittery, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next.
Hello, Scott, Becky, new boy Chris, the one that doesn't speak, and the PR4L. Got my first Scott Mills points today on the boat that guy built, chief/crapper/vicar quiz. Any plans to make the chief/crapper/can-can montage you did at the end available as a download? I need that as my ringtone. Cheers, Chris, off of Oswestry.
Now, that email there was talking about the show The Goat... The Goat?
The Goat that Guy built.
The Boat
Amazing.
That Guy built.
That wasn't the one I watched. You've been watching those channels further up again, haven't you?
And they mentioned the words Chief and Thomas Crapper and more tea vicar a lot. So we made it into a little montage.
Chief.
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 More tea vicar.
Crapper.
Crapper.
Chief.
More tea vicar.
Crapper.
Glad you enjoyed that.
Scott Mills.
Scott Mills.
BBC.
One. Hey, Megan.
Hello.
What's your song that you do it to?
Coldplay, Yellow.
Do you do this every day?
No, not every day, but if I think, oh, I listen to a bit of Coldplay, and then I get on the bus, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm just time it so I can get off the bus properly.
So you time the song to getting off the bus?
Yeah.
And how does that make you feel when you get off?
When you get off, it's like, oh, I'm in a music video, it's really cool, like, getting off the bus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, are you on the way to school soon?
No, I go to school about 8:30.
Okay, cool. That's not that long.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to play you the track now. Can you just explain to me exactly what happens where?
Okay.
Okay, here it is. Oh, I love you so. Where are you now?
I'm just getting off, just getting my bag ready. So. And then get off.
Off.
And then you're off. And then you're walking up.
Walking off the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're in a film?
Yeah,
but you're
amazing.
Actually, but
it's
you're actually just
feeling.
At school.
It's the best feeling.
It is, isn't it? All right, have a good day.
Thank you.
Love you, bye.
Love you.
Going to give you a few of the best newspaper headlines which you're waking up to this morning. I'm a little bit addicted to paper reviews at the moment. Have you seen the one, Tulip? You wouldn't watch Sky News because you're BBC through and through. You wouldn't do that, would you? On Sky News at about 11:30 at night, if you're lucky and if you time it right, you get a newspaper review with one of the Bee Gees. I can't remember which one it is. Is it Robin? I don't know. Anyway, it's the one that wears blue sunglasses.
Presumably this is someone that just looks like someone in the Bee Gees.
No, it's an actual Bee Gee.
It's an actual Bee Gee.
You should do them, Scott.
I would
love
to do
them. Have you ever been offered?
I used to do a music review on Sky News.
Because, unlike the Bee Gee could do the serious stuff, and then you could do,
I could do
all
lighter
the showbiz
stories,
stuff.
The ones I'm about to do now.
So what have you got for us? We'll do a practice. So what have you got for us, Scott?
Well, today, Becky, are you the presenter on Sky News now?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm a Bee Gee. What do you think?
Oh, sorry. Today, we find out that Gary Lineker is really good at cooking pasta. Also, Mike Myers rides his nan's bike. Susan Boyle is having a birthday party. And finally, Robbie Williams and Gary Barlow have given up cake. Back
Thank
to you.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, seriously, Sky News, about 11:30. He's not on every night, but there's a Bee Gee who does the entire newspaper review, and you find out what he thinks about foreign affairs and stuff while wearing blue sunglasses.
I must watch
Do you try and catch that? It's something else. Got someone here that used to walk down the street listening to Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve, pretending to be Richard Ashcroft, you know, in the video, bumping into people as he went. Kind of went wrong, that stopped it. Hayley in Chelmsford's been on. She says, me and my mate pretend we're in The Bill. Sadly, no longer with us. When we drive around in the security van, we put on the orange beacon, play the theme tune, and drive down the road. There you are, now you're in The Bill. You're only in your security van, but you've got the orange beacon on. So you are now, in your head, you're in The Bill. In Chelmsford. Got to have a bit of escapism sometime. Liz, every time she gets off a plane, listens to Top Gun on her MP3 player. Oh, and when taking off as well. Becky, I've had a bit of an idea.
Go on.
Think about this last night when I was a little bit tired. You know how you're always on the lookout for how to make more money?
Yes.
A bit more cash.
Mm-hmm.
I've come up with a brilliant one.
Is it sorting the coins in your wallet again, and if I get rid of the tens, I can have them?
No, because, actually,
I did it
last night. No coins.
Good work.
Thank you. Most of them probably fell out into my bag.
But
so it's not coin clearing.
It's not that. What's going to be in big demand in the next couple of months? Think about it.
Summer clothes?
No.
I'll tell you what.
Prince William and Kate Middleton lookalikes.
Yes.
Yes. Now, our boss has been trying to get some of these for his club night and has...
Don't mention it.
Oh. And has managed to persuade Fern's producer, Stewie, to pretend to be Prince William at his club night. Doesn't really look that much like him, but I guess you could probably
He's got sort of blondy hair.
You could take a photo of him and he could probably get away with it. Now, I'm thinking, you and me, you're Kate, I'm Prince William.
Right.
What do you think? Because if you look at some of those lookalike sites, you know, people you can hire.
Hmm.
Admittedly, the one that we hired last year, which was Russell Brand, we were thinking he wasn't going to look anything like him. Turned up, looked exactly like him. Really freaked Katy Perry out.
That wasn't a good look, was it, that?
No, because she thought that he was in the room and then got all disappointed when he wasn't. So that wasn't good. But if you look at a lot of these lookalike sites, they don't look anything like the people they're supposed to.
So you think that we can get away with it?
Yeah, all you've got to do is put on similar clothes. You just wear a fancy dress.
I'll get a free Burberry trench.
What does Prince William wear?
Just sort of suits.
Yeah, I'll just get a
suit. Oh, no, he's a fan of the casual jumper, isn't he?
Or I could wear uniform, yes. And then I could go on that uniform dating site as well. Two birds, one actual stone.
Do we have to do all the poses? Do I have to get my face really that close to you?
What we do is we just do some Google imaging of, like, what they look like when they're posing together.
Mm.
Have a picture taken. Get it on one of these lookalike sites or something. Wear similar clothes. Bingo. You up for it? I reckon think of all the money we can make. Corporate gigs. It's all going to go off for the next 2 months. Daniel has been on from Lincoln saying, surely wouldn't you make more money as Scott and Becky off of Radio 1? No, really not. We are going for Kate Middleton and Prince William lookalike jobs. We don't really look anything like them, but if you see some of these lookalike websites, don't really have to look that much like them. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
It's Zara.
Zara, where are you?
I'm in Durham at the minute.
Where?
Durham.
Durham, okay, how can I help?
Yeah. Hiya, well, I'm a Kate Middleton lookalike.
Are you now?
Yeah.
A professional one?
Well, maybe if I send my photos off to the agency that have accepted me.
All right, so you've been accepted by a lookalike agency?
Yes, I have.
And have you got a William?
I don't, I'm afraid.
You see, apparently there's a shortage.
Really?
Yeah.
There's loads of Kates, but not enough Williams.
You see, again, you're going to end up earning loads more money than I am.
Sorry about that.
Oh, sorry about that, Beck.
So did you apply as a Kate Middleton lookalike, or just send your photos in and went, who do I look like?
No, I applied. I had a few... people say, oh, you look like Kate Middleton. So I thought, well, I might as well send a picture off. And then they got back to me last week.
So you'll be raking in a couple of months.
Oh, I'd like to think so.
Wow. How much do you look like her really, though? Be honest.
Pretty similar.
Do you?
I've got exactly the same hair, colouring, styling, and nice smile like
Kate. Oh.
Same figure, same height.
Amazing. You're going to be rich beyond your wildest dreams.
Oh, I wish.
All right, I love you.
Love you.
See, there's no Williams.
No.
But there's a slight problem here.
What?
I think that I'm more Kate than you are.
Colouring-wise, you are.
Everything-wise. Because your hair's quite thin.
Yeah. What, so you're saying I can be William because I'm slightly balding?
Well, if I
cut it short and then you grow yours long.
If I grow my locks a bit, if I let this really grow out...
We get so much money off that.
Uh-huh. We could be slightly like balding Prince William. I can be Luscious Locks Kate. Bingo.
That works so much better. Okay, I can totally see it.
Google some pictures of them together.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember that I'm Kate. Okay. I know that's weird. But do that. Google that, and then we'll do some photos like later on in the week.
Mm.
Send them off some agencies like that girl just did there. We're going to be on.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Now, has anyone been watching Heston Blumenthal on the telly? He was on last night. It was just as I was going to sleep, and he was doing loads of weird 60s food and like making duck a l'orange. Duck with orange.
Ooh.
Gross. No need. It's like lemon and chicken. No. Now, Rhiannon off of Portsmouth was watching Heston a couple of weeks ago on one of his shows. And this one was called Heston's Mission Impossible. Chance to win some Scott Mills points here for you. Now, on the show, to make his food taste better, he was suggesting people wash their nose out first.
Oh.
And for some reason, Rhiannon found this quite amusing.
I didn't even know how to do that.
If a celeb, well, you
don't
just put
do that.
Water up there, don't you?
Yeah.
If a celebrity chef said to you, "Hey, Becky, this food's going to taste a whole lot nicer on your buds if you wash your nose out first," would you do it?
No, because I imagine it's like that minging. You know, when you go swimming and then you get it up your nose.
All up your nose, gross.
Like, oh, and it gives you that pain behind your eyes, and it's just.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, apparently that's what Heston thinks. For 10 Scott Mills points, let me know how you do. How many times during Heston's Mission Impossible did they say the words nasal douche? How many?
There's a proper word for it. Ew. I'm going to say 8.
8 nasal douches?
There's only so many times you can do it in an hour, isn't there?
You'd think that.
Or is there?
You're saying 8. Mm. Let me know what you think. Here is Heston from his Mission Impossible washing his nose out.
We've got a glass of wine, and this is a nasal douche. A couple of jets of this up the nostrils, and the same wine should taste better after a nasal douche.
Should.
Yeah.
Before they try anything, every passenger is required to nasal douche.
What we need you to do with this is just squirt it up your nostril.
It's a nasal douche. Nasal douche.
Nasal douche.
Nasal douche.
Nasal douche.
Nasal douche.
Nasal douche.
Nasal douche.
Nasal douche. Douche, douche, douche.
A couple of jets of this up the nostrils, up the nostrils, up the nostrils.
Serve with a nasal douche. Each umami-rich seaweed shepherd's pie is served with a nasal douche.
Come on. Nasal douche.
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 I think there are a couple of things in there that could be really nice signatures for us that we can bring all the way through. Nasal douching isn't one of them.
Do you not like that?
No.
Nasal douche.
Karen off of Norwich used to go out with a bloke who douched nasally with salt water every morning. That ended.
Maybe I do need to do it, because you know I do sometimes sound really, like, sinusy.
Nikki in Biddeford's been on saying, I'm flying with the airline on Friday. I'm hoping nasal douching is not compulsory. I don't fancy it much. You said 8 nasal douches, right?
Yeah.
Sounded like a lot more there in the Tiesto remix, but it was actually 8. Congratulations. 10
yes.
Scott Mills points.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcast. Podcast.
Someone claiming to be from a lookalikes agency has been on, saying that they might be able to get us some work as William and Kate lookalikes. I'm Kate, obviously, because of my long, flowing brown locks. And you're...
William.
William, yeah. Someone says, why don't you actually do, like, a whole wedding scene, like, using lookalikes? We can get a queen lookalike as well. That would be amazing. Someone says... Oh, this is the same person that suggested that, saying, I look like Finn from Glee. Does that help? Not really at the moment, no, but thanks. We're trying to get some work as William and Kate lookalikes, because that's going to be all the rage in the next couple of months. Hello, Radio 1, is that Lottie?
Yeah, it is.
How are you doing?
Amazing.
Where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in Bromley.
Okay, how can I help?
Well, I'm just sitting in the car driving to school and Mum just goes, did you hear Florence's live lounge? And I was like, what live lounge? She hasn't done one. She was like, yeah, Peter Andre's Mysterious Girl. It was well good.
Oh, bless.
I know.
The thing is, it does really sound like Florence, so you can... It's not that embarrassing.
It's not, embarrassing. That's telling her it's not embarrassing.
That'd be your mum saying it's not embarrassing.
That would be Mum, yep.
Tell her that it's Frisky and Manish doing Mysterious Girl in the style of Florence.
I did. It took her a lot of convincing to tell her otherwise, but we got there.
Okay, well, listen, they're going to be on after 8:30. They've just come in now, so she'll be able to hear more of them after 8:30, and then she'll be able to get her head around it.
Wicked.
All right?
Thanks.
Have a good day at school.
Thanks, love you.
Love you, bye. Now, please welcome to this show, Frisky and Manish. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Is it early for you?
Oh, sweet Lord, it's early.
Oh, Lord, it's early. Now,
where am I?
Becky played us a couple of your songs yesterday. We do a little thing called show and tell, like at school, where everyone brings something to the class and shares it. And that's what Becky did. And after we played them, it went a bit mad on your website, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit crashy.
We don't have one anymore. Yeah,
did it crash?
We did. It's fine. It's there. It's back on an hour ago.
Did it crash?
It did totally crash.
Oh, oops. So tell us what you do if people have never heard it before.
We do pop songs and we love pop, so hopefully Radio 1 listeners will recognise the sort of songs we do. But what we try and do is mess around with them, take them to new and unexpected places and invite you to see a little different theme in it, maybe.
Yeah. So they're like songs we know, but in a way that we wouldn't have heard them before.
Exactly. Precisely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No one was expecting to hear Mysterious Girl yesterday when we played it in the style of Florence.
And yet so appropriate.
It really is.
Yeah.
It just
she
works.
Is one. She is a mysterious girl, so whatever.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this then?
Just about 3 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And we should have seen you at the Edinburgh Festival because we did our shows up there last year. And you were on, weren't you?
We were, yes.
Did you have a musical?
That was 2 years ago.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
that was our first year when you were doing the musical.
Oh, God,
so
was
that
it?
Was yeah, that was the first time we were in Edinburgh.
We did we did one man shows last year, which was even more terrifying.
Absolutely, yes. You couldn't pay me enough to do a one man show, quite
no,
frankly.
Awful. but fun. So are you gonna do a couple of songs for us now then?
We certainly are.
Okay. What are you gonna do?
Well, we thought we'd start, I mean, you know, given that it is, you know, practically 9:15,
yeah.
We thought it was high time everybody got a bit saucy.
Okay.
So,
all right, let's
we
do
thought
it.
We'd just give you something just a little bit saucy.
Okay.
Old MacDonald had a farm, and on the farm he had a dog, with a woof woof here and a woof woof there. Here a wolf, there a wolf, everywhere a wolf. Peter Piper picked a peck of peppers. Got a feeling it's a mixed up sign. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch some water. Something funny's going on inside my mind.
Oh yes! Incredible.
It's sexy for you.
That was Frisky and Manish. If you want to catch us on the live webcam, if you're at work now, maybe you got there early and you want to have a look, bbc.co.uk/radio1. You can see us as well as hear us. Can we do another one in a minute?
Yeah.
Yes. A lot of 2 to 5 year olds are really confused by the wheels on the bus thing there. Lots of people listening with their kids at the moment.
We love to educate people. Yeah.
This is Frisky and Manish. It was part of Becky's show and tell yesterday. We're going to do another song in a minute. So where do you get the ideas from of which songs to mix with which?
Well, gosh, it is just basically we sit in a room, put the radio on, put YouTube on, and just as soon as something makes us laugh, it is that simple. It's just whether we find it funny, and the wheels on the bus just purely came from us messing around with Girls Aloud, because we do find Girls Aloud particularly funny.
Oh,
I think they're amazingly hilarious. Should be comedians.
Yeah. Why are Girls Aloud funny?
Oh, any girls, just overly pouty girls, make me laugh anyway. I don't know whether you know
being sexy is funny.
It's just funny, and they take themselves seriously, but they also they know they're funny as well. So I think they're great.
Very good
comedians.
And how did you start doing it?
We were just, I mean, it's like one of those stupid things. I think we were hungover. Don't do it, kids. It's not good for you. And we were just sitting around and just kind of sad, and picked up a book of the last 20 years of pop, and just sort of picked up Papa Don't Preach. I'm like, oh, I think the song. Wait, what if we made it an aria? And it really, because of Papa, you know, it's like, Papa, it just totally works. Oh. And then we were like, what next, going through the book.
Now we can't stop. No song is serious.
No, I know.
Everything is a joke.
So, yeah, you must hear every song as something quite funny.
Afraid so, Adele.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Sorry,
I mean,
about that.
My friend Chris thinks that your version of Saturday Night by Wigfield is as moving as Adele at the Brit.
That's quite a claim. That's quite incredible.
We are a bit obsessed with Adele at the moment. She's pulling it out. Oh,
brilliant.
Amazing. But you know that song, the main reason we recorded it was because a couple came up to us after our show and asked if they could, if we had a recording, because they wanted to make it the first dance at their wedding.
Oh.
And we were like
the candlelight mix of Saturday Night by Wigfield.
Exactly. And we're like we will film. Now. You can
brilliant.
Have one.
And Wigfield must be very pleased.
Oh, I'm sure she's thrilled.
Been in touch, yeah.
Has she?
No.
I'd love that. Hi, Wigfield here.
Yeah.
love your version of Saturday Night.
She's suing us.
Sorry, can't hear you on the phone. My plaits are in the way. What was that?
Have you had any feedback on it from any of the artists? Like, has Florence heard it? Do you know?
Oh, Florence hasn't.
Not that we know.
But I mean, there is one person who we do know has heard it, and that is the great Kate Nash, who actually pretty much made our first 2 years possible by producing the track Foundations, obviously her big hit.
Yes.
And we put that together with, I think you played it yesterday.
Yeah, with Kate Bush.
With Kate Bush, the Kate Bash is what we call it. Mm. And she came to a show of ours. She was in Edinburgh. She came to a show and she was the most lovely and wonderful woman ever. So I'm so glad she didn't sue us.
Right. And, I know, it's brilliant.
She will not.
So you've not heard from Florence or indeed Peter Andre and how he feels.
Although we were once singing in Selfridges and he blew me a kiss from the escalator, so I think we're fine.
All right.
So pretty much.
Yeah, that's legally binding, as far as I'm concerned.
If you were doing a show and suddenly you looked up and one of the artists that you were doing was in the audience, how would you feel?
I'd love it.
I'd be honest, you know, I would be respectful. I totally would. I'm dreadful. I can't be mean to people's face. I mean, we're not mean. We're not mean.
We love everyone.
We don't want anyone to interpret it wrongly. So
yeah, it's just fun, isn't it?
I'd sing it well good.
I mean, if they hadn't done it in the first place, we wouldn't be here. And for them to have done it is just brilliant. Yeah. So, we know we love them.
And are you doing a tour soon? Where can people see you?
We are doing a tour starting 7th of April in Winchester and then going to Manchester at the Lowry. And then touring just sort of generally throughout April and May. The details are on our website, which hopefully won't crash again. But then we're going to be in Edinburgh again in the summer.
I will come and see you.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll be good if we do it this year. And you're going to do an album? That'll be good.
Well, we've just put available to buy online as a physical CD, a very limited number of sort of more produced things that you guys got like hot off the press.
Mm. Did we?
Like, the Florence one. Yeah, it was mixed on Friday.
Oh, was it?
It was finally mixed, yeah.
Oh, well done,
so
Becky.
That was amazing.
Good
work.
Thanks,
connections.
Becky.
You are on it, Becky Huxtable.
And so that's literally it's just being like produced at the moment, so you can buy it online. We're shipping it from like the 5th of April, but there's only a few, so get in there.
Okay, so it's Frisky Manish, you're going to do one more for us.
We are.
That would be lovely. I'll turn the echo on, shall I?
I really think you should.
Hello. It's on.
This is actually the wedding song.
Is it? Excellent.
All the happy couples out there.
Yeah.
Imagine this is your wedding song, your first dance. Let's go.
Saturday night dance. I like the way you move. Be my baby. I'll make you mine. Not 1 minute can lose, pretty baby.
That was brilliant. That is so good. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having us. Becky, you are a woman of taste. We knew it.
Exactly. Thank you. Frisky and Manish. Thank you.
Scott Mills, BBC. Right. Yo.
One. One that doesn't speak is just clearing up the wires of Frisky and Manish's keyboard. Multitasking. I didn't know you could do that. It's incredible. He's undoing them and everything. It looks like he knows what he's doing. Oh, no, he just dropped one. Bridget's been on. Hi, Bridget. Bridget Stanford saying, I love Frisky and Manish. I've just got tickets to see them in Norwich. Thank you to Becky for bringing them to our lives for the best show and tell ever. They were good. And what an awesome voice as well. So, coming up next, Becky gave us Frisky and Manish on her show and tell yesterday. You know, it's like at school where you bring something in and you have to talk about it. Today, Chris brings something to the class to share with us. What have you got for us, Chris?
Right, well, my one is actually more for smooth-talking Dan after his exploits yesterday on Stupid Street.
Yeah, Dan was out on Stupid Street yesterday trying to chat people up because he's a smooth talker. Mr.
Smooth talker.
This is his new theme. So we sent Dan out and he was just trying to get someone to go on a date with him.
What's your name?
Gitta.
Are you busy today, the rest of the day, or...?
No, we're just shopping.
Just shopping. Maybe I could buy you a nice gift, like a pearl necklace.
A pearl necklace is always nice,
That's nice, isn't it? Would you like to go on a date with me this afternoon, or...?
I think it's just a little tricky if you're just here for one night and then you'll have to leave again.
It could be the best night of your life. This is what I'm saying.
Maybe.
Could leave London with a bang.
Well,
so to speak.
It's not really what I normally do. You know?
Okay. All right. Not to worry. Thanks anyway. Okay. Cheers. Thank you. They were blooming interested.
Dan, you think you promised them jewellery after 2 minutes?
I came on too strong, didn't I?
Well, you did. Like, have an expensive gift. They don't want that.
Well, okay. They do, but, I mean, not yeah, after not, 2 minutes no, from a random.
Eventually, no. Then they really want it a lot. So, what have you got for Smooth Talking Dan to help him?
Right, so it got me thinking, listening to him trying it on with all the girls yesterday, he wasn't really successful.
No.
So my show and tell today is the ultimate pickup guide of all. It's called The Game by Neil Strauss.
You've said this before, you've talked about this before, this book.
It's basically the science behind picking up girls.
And do you use this?
Well, I mean, I've got a girlfriend, but I thought Smooth Talking Dan could learn a few things from this book.
Excellent.
And be more successful with the women.
Becky, as a girl, what are your views on this?
Well, I don't mind, like, relationship books and stuff, and, like, you
I don't think it's that.
But it's just sounds horrific. And the guy on the front looks like... It's a cartoon man who's got, like, his shirt unbuttoned to his waist and he's holding his drink. He's like, hey, ladies.
Hello.
He's the sort of man that when you walk into a club, you're like, oh.
Becky, this guy gets anyone he wants.
Could he get Becky?
100%.
Seriously. These women can spot these things a mile off.
100%.
I bet the first one is like, yeah, be rude to her and then she'll love you.
That is one of the tips. Yeah,
there we are. So we brought Smooth Talking Dan in. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
Are you ready to be educated in the game?
I'm very, very excited, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel he's like my student.
This is a little bit like the relationship version of the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
Same.
Am I Will Smith's son? This is brilliant.
Yes, you are. Who'd have thought you'd be taking love tips off my friend Chris? This is all horrible. Okay, so we've got some bits of the game. And to do them, who better than the voice of the PR4M, the posh Radio 4 man?
Now, he is a hit with the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
A pickup artist must be the exception to the rule. He must not do what everyone else does ever.
Dan, you really need to listen up, right? Okay. This is where it will all start.
Right, here's the first problem that I have with this. A pickup artist must be, like, original and not do what everyone else is doing, apart from everybody else who's bought and now owns this book. There's going to be, like, thousands of men out there all doing exactly the same thing.
The key is to ignore the woman you desire while winning over her friends. If the target is attractive and used to men fawning over her, the pickup artist must intrigue her by pretending to be unaffected by her charm.
You need to win over the girl's friend to get the girl.
So I kind of ignore the really hot girl.
Do you ignore her?
Get her a bit jealous, chat to her friends, maybe, and she'll be like, yes.
Yes, because she'll see that her friends like you.
Mm.
Through the use of what is known as a neg. Neither compliment nor insult, a neg is something in between, an accidental insult or backhanded compliment. Actively displaying a lack of interest in her by telling her she has lipstick on her teeth, for example, or offering her a piece of gum after she speaks.
So, Dan, if you make a note of this, please.
Okay, yeah.
Here's some things you need to say.
Okay.
Because up until now, you've been mostly going for compliments and stuff, haven't you? Which is really nice, but obviously it hasn't been working.
Don't do that. Okay.
Maybe just be really negative and then you get the girl.
You kind of have man hands.
Okay, that's fine.
Someone has said that to you before, though, Becky, haven't they?
Yeah, my first ever boyfriend said I had man hands.
Oh, he's been reading the game.
What, back in, like... the early 90s, I don't think so. But if you actually look at my hands, he meant it. He wasn't trying to get off with me. He was just making an observation. Look how big they are.
He was negging you.
Look how big they are.
He was negging.
See? Big, mine's bigger than Scott's.
No, but nearly.
Is that a wig? Oh, well, it looks nice anyway.
That's all.
Dan, you need to write these down.
Okay, right.
How old are these women that you're trying to pull?
Is that a wig?
Ew, you spat on me.
You know when they're talking,
right?
Say it, don't spray it, kind of thing.
Does that work? Who you spat on me? If it's in the book, okay.
Dan, are you questioning the game?
No, of course not. It's in the book. Yeah,
just write these down, Dan.
Right.
You blink a lot.
What? So that's lesson one. That's negging.
Okay, so that's kind of a slight insult.
A very slight, subtle insult to lower the self-esteem.
Subtle insult.
Ew. You spat on me.
It's not subtle.
Or my favourite.
You kind of have man hands.
Kind of. Okay, so what else should Dan do?
The number one characteristic of the alpha male is the smile. smile when you enter a room. As soon as you walk in a club, the game is on. And by smiling, you look like you're together, you're fun, and you're somebody.
So yeah. Smile!
And I'll be together, fun, and somebody. Okay, cool.
The main point being here, as soon as you enter the venue, the game is on.
I like the idea that tonight, all over the UK, in various pubs and clubs, there'll be loads of blokes just walking around with a massive inane smile on their face after hearing this morning on the radio.
Handing out chewing gums. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you spit on me.
You need to be bigger than life. I'm talking over the top. If you want to get the tens, you need to learn peacock theory.
What's this?
Peacock theory is the idea that in order to attract the most desirable female of the species, it's necessary to stand out in a flashy and colourful way.
Well, what does that mean?
Like Joseph on the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And then walk in like, ta-da, ladies, I'm smiling.
Actually, Jason Donovan idea isn't such a bad one. You're going in a big jacket.
No, I just like to clarify, that was a joke.
It worked on Denise Van Outen, so...
Yes, it did, actually.
Smooth talking Dan right in there.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Not Lee bad. Mead, Lee Mead exactly. Walks in with his Technicolor Dreamcoat, bags of 10.
The thing is, I can see Smooth Talking Dan getting excited about this.
He's loving it. He's so loving the advice.
Yeah.
So, out of your mates, what have they done to make themselves noticed?
Well, one of my mates, I think we've talked about this before, he adopted the peacock theory in a night out, and he goes out wearing a sombrero.
Just to get himself noticed.
Yeah, but it works. I mean, that's the point. You then look different.
Yeah, you certainly do.
Becky, stop looking at me like that.
So he wears a sombrero and pulls girls.
He does.
Seriously.
Because it's a talking point. It makes him
So
different.
Why is he saying he's wearing it? When they ask him, say I meet you in the club, I'll be like, oh, hi, you're so attractive and lovely. Why are you wearing the sombrero?
What does he say?
I'm not sure, to be honest, but I know...
An opener is a prepared script used to start a conversation with a group of strangers. Say this when you see a group with a girl you like. Hey, it looks like the party is over here. Then turn to the girl you want and add, if I wasn't gay, you'd be so mine. Once she's attracted to you, it won't matter whether you said you were gay or not.
Really, though?
Am I still writing this all down?
Write this down, okay. Dan. I'm not sure about this one, but you've got to go by what the game says.
Don't approach a woman with a sexual come-on. An amateur hits on a woman right away. A pro waits 8 to 10 minutes.
Oh, right. So that long.
Never approach a woman from behind. Always come in from the front. But at a slight angle, so it's not too direct and confrontational. You should speak to her over your shoulder, so it looks like you might walk away from her at any moment.
Okay.
No, it looks like you've been in some weird accident. So you get this sideways, like, crab-type man coming in front of you, kind of looking over his shoulder like, oh, yeah.
With a sombrero on.
Yeah.
Posh Radio 4 Man said, Dan, you've got to come in at an angle.
You do a crab-like movement up to them.
You are moving... Well, it would seem that way, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Have you done the crab before in a club?
I've not tried it, actually, no. But maybe that's where I've gone wrong.
And then you speak to them like you've had some terrible accident over your shoulder.
Did it say talk over your shoulder as well?
Yeah, it said look the other way as if you're a bit disinterested.
You obviously haven't employed this area of the game.
No, but we will with Dan.
So, Dan, how are you feeling about this, now that we've discussed some of the earlier stages of the game?
I'm pretty excited about it. It sounds a bit odd, but if it gets results, Denise Van Outen and the rest, definitely.
I think you're thinking too much about that one, to be honest. Okay. That was probably just a fluke. Are you willing to carry this on some more with Jackie Chan over here?
Yeah, certainly.
So here's my thinking. I think, Chris, if you could teach Dan a little bit more about the game.
Right.
And then we send you out on, like, a practical.
No! Oh,
okay, cool.
No.
Yeah, send you out to employ it.
In public?
Yes.
What, with real people?
Yeah, why not?
I can't imagine anything worse.
This'll be you.
You kind of have man hands.
Imagine you just approached a girl in a crab movement and now you are talking over your shoulder at her like you need a neck brace.
Is that a wig? Oh, well. It looks nice anyway.
This is going to be great.
Ew, You spat on me.
Scott Mills.
Scott Mills.
BBC. Ray.
Yeah. One. Mel from Cornwall's been on saying, Scott, I was out in Plymouth on Friday, and I'm not joking, the blokes have all read that book. I went home on my own. Please stop giving all my lady moves away, says Jason in Ashford. Yeah, there's loads of blokes going, stop giving away the rules! It's a book, it's out there. Sombrero does work, says Luke. He tried it on Boxing Day, got the girl. Also, apparently, if you want to add to that one, wearing pink cowboy hats also works for the girls. Really, though, Ben? Ben in Brighton? Really? Okay, I'll take your word for it. Also, is the crab movement suggested in the game to approach the girl, is that not how you're supposed to approach a horse? I think they may have got that a bit confused.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast. Lots of blokes have been on saying, do not knock the game. I'm not knocking the game. We'll just see if it works. Nick in Raynham's been on saying, I met a girl once, told her she had a crap phone. Now we're married. See, it works. All right, love. Over his shoulder in a crab movement. Crap phone. Oh, I love you. So there's only one way to see if this works, really, and that's to send Smooth Talking Dan out. Should we send him out with my mate Chris? Because Chris is like knows all the rules of the game. Let's do that. So we'll send Dan out on a practical later and see if this works and if he can snare the girl. And if you are a lady in central London, out today at lunchtime, if a quite tall bloke comes up and insults you, he means it with affection. He means he likes you. Right, Tulip, I just want to try a couple of these on you here, because these are ones that have worked right in getting the girl, okay? James moving to Stockport has used the game that we're going to try out on the practical with Smooth Talking Dan later. You're weird. How's that working
for
you?
That's it. Well, just you're weird.
You're weird. And she went, well, you're short, back. They move in together next week.
Right, that's nice.
You've got fat arms.
And that worked for somebody.
You've got fat arms. How's that working for you?
Not well at all.
Now, they've been married 4 years.
Gosh.
Oh, my God, Tulip. You've got massively fat wrists. How's that working?
Not very well at all.
Right, well, they're getting married now and have a son. That's from Beth in Pontypridd.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Becala.
Yes.
Chris.
Yes.
Let's do some more Dear Scots. The posh Radio 4 lady with the stuff that you've been saying to us. If you want to send me an email, it's dead simple. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Put Dear Scott on the subject. A posh woman off of Radio 4 will read out what you've been saying. Something you want to tell us, something you want to know about the show. It's an open forum. It's all yours.
Dear Scott, Rebecca Becky, Chris, the one that doesn't speak, and the PR4L.
Hi.
You know you were talking about terms and conditions the other day. Have you seen the bit in passport application forms where it asks you if you are a terrorist or been involved in any acts of genocide?
Yes.
How many actual terrorists do you think tick yes to that? Love you, son of small face.
Is that real?
Yes. Everyone has looked at the passport form and thought, have I ever been involved in genocide? No. Does anyone ever tick that box, do you think?
No, I don't think. I think even if you had, Ben, you wouldn't say it, would you?
Oh, yes. Stupid question.
I am a terrorist. I'll tick this box.
Have you ever ticked it even though you haven't been, just to see what happens?
No, why would you do that? I'd like to know this, actually. If anyone listening works in a passport office, has anyone ever ticked that box? Because I'd be interested to know what would happen next. Like, because normally they're just looking through it and go, yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, don't they ask you the same question on the...
Stamp.
Some countries when you're on the plane and you get that little thingy to fill out.
Yes.
Which is always really awkward because you've still got your meal and then you've got your magazines and your book and it's like there's nowhere to fill it in.
What is it, a customer satisfaction form?
No, it's like a landing card. Is that what they're called? And you have to tick, like, whether you've eaten cheese in the last week or, like, when you've been through any muddy fields or whatever. And
are you bringing any livestock into the country?
Yeah. And then on that one as well, I think it says, have you ever been involved in any dodgy stuff?
Yeah. Something about the war as well. Were you involved in some war somewhere? It's like, no.
I think you'd know.
Yeah. Why do they need to know all this anyway? Just let me know. If you work in the passport office and has anyone ever ticked that box, I'd be interested to know what happened. Next.
Hi, Scott. We are a very small independent film company based in Kent. And we are in pre-production of our first big feature film, an epic horror called Invasion of the Not Quite Dead. I remember a while ago you appeared as an extra in The Bill. We're off to Bulgaria in April to film, and we'll be restarting filming in Kent from the end of June. We would like to invite you to come along for a day and be an extra as a zombie or even have a small speaking role.
Oh, wow.
I've not been an extra for a while. Quite excited about this.
Sounds quite big budget as well if it's in Bulgaria.
Yeah, no, can we just get this straight there? Where am I going to be filming? Is it Bulgaria or Kent?
What do you think it's likely to be?
Kent.
Yeah.
And will you be doing it if it's in Kent?
Kent's lovely, actually.
Do you work with, like, big character roles, though? Because before you've either played yourself or... I thought you only did yourself, game show host or policeman. I've never... You haven't really done much zombie stuff.
That's a bit
rude,
Becky. No. I think I could turn my hand to most things.
Can you do zombie?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh. Yeah, I don't think that's going to cut it somehow.
We may only be a small company, but we are getting a lot of worldwide interest due to the way in which we are funded by the power of Twitter.
Oh, really?
Invasion of the Not Quite Dead may be being filmed on a moderately small budget, but we have a great cast list, including Zach Galligan, Billy from Gremlins 1 and 2,
oh, yeah.
Terry Stone, Rise of the Foot Soldier and Bonded by Blood,
oh.
And Andrew Ellis, Gadget from This Is England, the film and TV series, mm-hmm. but to name a few. We are supported by Jonathan Ross. And do you remember Wheatus of Teenage Dirtbag fame?
Yes.
Well, they are good friends of ours and will be providing our film's soundtrack. It would be great to have you for the day. Kindest regards, Steve Davis, assistant producer, Indiewood Films.
Whoa. Maybe the whole soundtrack's going to be like Teenage Dirtbag. That would be good.
Do you think you'll get on the album cover? I know you're only like an extra, but I'm already thinking about all the merchandise and stuff with your zombie, and then you can just be there like, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's really good. Maybe work a little bit more on the...
Whoa.
It's the campest zombie I've ever seen.
That's more ghosty than zombie, yeah.
No, I'm not doing it for you now. I can't just do it. I'm not...
He needs 2 or 3 hours
be
to get into...
Be better than this.
You should try it out on the lottery. See how it goes down with the audience.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Alan. Voice of the Balls. Whoa. Tonight, it's an estimated jackpot of 13.4 million. And now it's time for Thunderball. Okay, we found out what happens when you tick that box on the form, the genocide box. James in Swindon found out the hard way, ticked it for a joke when entering the USA, was refused entry and fined for wasting customs time. They don't find it funny at all, the Americans, so it's advisable really not to do that. Do not tick that box. I've got to feel sorry for Jenna from Leicester, though, who ticked the genocide box by accident and got into lots of trouble. It was very difficult, she says, to get my passport after the confusion of explaining why I ticked it accidentally. That's a shame. And Gina's been on, off of Essex, saying, "Hi, Scott, Becky, Chris. I went to Armenia once and was asked if I had any weapons of mass destruction in my luggage. Seriously, what shape was your case?"
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.